We're going to finish up today our series we started the last Sunday in 2019 called It's Time. If you've kind of missed it, we've been building around this scripture in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. It says, from then on, Jesus began to preach, and he began to preach this word called repent. Repent in our world has become this dirty word, this mean word, this judgmental word, and it's really none of that. Repent is simply just changing direction. I'm going this way. I know I'm not supposed to be, so I turn and go the different direction. Then Jesus says, repent and your sins will be forgiven. But he also says, because the kingdom of heaven is near. See, we buy into this lie, I think, sometimes that God is far. Or remember the old Bette Midler, he's watching from a distance. No, he's not. The Bible says he's right here with us. Even if you don't want him, he's right here with you. I also think the kingdom of heaven is near. And, you know, we're close enough and looking at the world's events outside that Jesus can come back at any minute. All the stuff at the end of Revelation is already lined up. So it's just, I think it's waiting on God just to push the go button and come back and get us. So it is near. You know, but we started this series, and again called It's Time, because it's time to make some changes. It's time to do some things different in 2020 than we did in 2019, because we don't want to live out the definition of insanity that says if you do the same thing over and over and expect different results, you might be a little crazy. Yet a lot of us do that year after year. And just so to close out, I'll kind of give you, if you're watching online or maybe you missed, you can go back and catch them all. But here's what we talked about. The first week we talked about it's time to make some changes. The second week we talked about it's time to choose joy. What real God, biblical joy is that you can have joy even in the darkest moments and the darkest, lowest times of your life. You can choose to have joy. Last or week after that, we talked about praying, that it's time to pray, that praying is not this high-educated, smart-sounding conversation. It's just you and God having a conversation, you and Daddy having a chat, and it doesn't need to be complicated. You don't speak King James English. We're from the South. We speak slowly and maybe mush our words together. It's okay. God knows, and he understands. Don't try to be something you're not when you have a conversation with God. And then last week we talked about our priorities, our order. That priorities, pride changes this order. It puts us in front and tries to move God down. Order changes your capacity. It determines your capacity. You can do a whole lot more if we have things in God's order than you can trying to do it yourself. Order communicates priority. If I put other things above my wife, it communicates to her that she is less than important. Less than number one. It does the same with God. And order impacts the rest. When our lives are in order, it not only affects our lives, but it affects all of our family's lives and everybody connected to us. See, only God can sit in the priority list. He can only sit in first place. He's not capable of sitting anywhere else. I said this last week, God doesn't bump to number two and wait on you to move him up. He just steps to the side and stands there and waits on you to open up the number one slot. Priority, your priority list does a lot in your life, and it's time that we make some changes. And then last week, we also hinted at this, and I'm going to dive into it a little further today, about the order of our lives. And I mentioned this dirty, dirty word. Are y'all ready? I'm going to say it in church. You ready? It's just vulgar, nasty. You ready? But I'm going to say it in church. You ready? Tithe. So you can just feel the air get sucked out of the room. Oh, God, I came today. Probably the Facebook online, all the users just went bloop, and everybody just quit. Oh, God, he's going to talk about money. No, it's bigger than that. And I want for you what I want for my family, and that's for you to have everything that God can give you and everything he has for you. And if you're visiting today, welcome. Just let me be today your pastor. If you have another church, it's going to be true in their church. If they're teaching the Bible, it's true there too. If you don't have a home church, then just lean in a little bit. It might be something new, but I just need you to relax because you need to know this. I'm not after your money. I hope you know this if you've been around now for, you know, for 10 years with me. I don't play that game, and I don't like ministries and people that do, and I don't put people in front of you that play the money game and play the guilt game. So I feel like I've earned a little bit of credibility. And I just want to share today from my heart about it, because I want for you the best. And again, not talking about it would not be doing my job, what I'm here for. So I'm going to kind of give it to you like it needs to be, okay? If you think it's mean, I'm sorry, come back next week. Actually, next week we're starting a series I've never done on the Song of Solomon. And if you've ever read the book of Song of Solomon, guys, you'll thank me later. If you're single, it'll put your focus on getting married, right? I've never done it before. I'm a little nervous, and my wife is a little nervous too, because I don't tend to know when to shut up, and I don't want to. But I'm going to try, okay? So don't miss next week. Come back next week. But today I think can be life-changing if you'll just listen. Don't tune me out. Don't say, well, this is what I feel. This is what I was taught. Everything I'm giving you is straight from God's word. Because I'm not going to change what the word says to make people happy. It says what it says. If you don't like what it says, don't come at me. Take it up with God. He wrote it, okay? Look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the, say this with me, the, say it again, the, the second, no, the third, whenever you get around to it, whatever you have left over, no, honor me with your wealth. Wealth is just simply, and listen, as we talk today, don't get hung up in numbers. There are people in this room that make way more than all of us. There are people in this room that make way less than all of us. There are people in this world that make more than we would all make added together during all of our lifetimes. This is not a numbers game. It's not an amount game. But your wealth is simply what I have. If you don't have a nickel to your name, you still have time. You still have something that is of value. So that's your wealth. But it says the first fruits with all your crops. And then the Bible says, then something happens. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. In other words, God says, okay, now you can handle it. I'm going to open the doors. Let me preface all of what we're about to say today by this. We are not a name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. Send me money. I'll send you a handkerchief. We don't do any of that. But the Bible is very clear that when you honor God with first, he gives you more. Go back a few weeks on the podcast, and I did one Sunday on what the more is for. The more is not so you can go, look at me, I got more. The more is because when you get more, God expects us to do more. When you get more, God wants you to do more. So this is not a we need money or you need money or you give money to get money. I don't think God plays that game either. But he does say on this, he takes it very seriously. And it's all through the Bible. But here, I never guilt people to give. I don't play with your emotions. And if I'm honest, and I'm going to show you this because I want to kind of set up my foundation that I'm not after your money. I'm not after emotionally trying to corral you and coerce you to do something, because I don't even think it's biblical. And I'm going to show you a verse. This is not in your notes, but in 2 Corinthians, it says that each of you should give what? What you decided. Y'all, big yellow word up there. Decided. You give what you decided. If somebody's browbeating you into, you need to give. You don't. And anybody ever does this? Anybody ever been in a church that does this? If you were raised in a charismatic church, they tend to do this every now and then. I don't like it because I don't think it's biblical. But they'll say, even if you don't have it, you don't have $100, write a $100 check and put it in your offering, and we're going to believe with you by tomorrow that you'll have $100. That is not wisdom. That's dumb. That's obligating God to do something to cover your stupidity. Don't do that. You give what the Bible says you purposed and decided in your heart. That's why we say at the end, hey, grab your tithe and bring an offering. And if you don't have it, don't give it. God doesn't need your IOUs. He needs you to a decision. So that's what this is about today, a decision that you make in your heart, not somebody that's eloquent or that's a smooth talker. I'm not trying to sell you a used car. I'm not trying to sell you something. I want you to go internal, and you and God, and you make a decision. And watch that works. Let me also say this, and I'll jump right in. And I've said this before, and I've never had to do it, but I'll say it again. If you're not tithing and you start and you do it for a year and you come back to me and say, Clint, I started the last Sunday in January 2020 and I've been tithing faithfully ever since. My life is no different. My life is a mess. If you do that, I will give you all of your tithe back, every penny. I will give it all back to you. My trustees, who I have a meeting with today, all kind of pinch up their hiney cheeks when I say that because they have, but I will, because I believe in it so much. It's not a gimmick. It's real, and it's God's word. And we need to decide and don't be coerced. And this may not be all the reasons that the Bible gives us to be tithers, but I'm gonna give you what Melanie and I believe and what we share. And this is straight from my heart. This is all me, the way I've lived my life. And I think I can stand and you can look at my testimony of my life and my family's life and you'll see the truth in this. And the first thing is, the first blank, is that the tithe is a test. You didn't know that, did you? That every time you have any increase, remember the first fruits of your increase, of anything more, if you got $0 and I give you $10, now this is a hard question, have you increased? Yes. For all of you in the Scranton County math, that's a yes, right? I'm just kidding. Yes, an increase. So don't overcomplicate this. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that it says, yes, I've been humbling you. The Bible says he'll humble the proud. And I've just been trying to see and testing you to prove your character, to find out if you're going to do what I've asked you to do. The Bible says of the Israelites, they marched around in the wilderness. And they just kept going around because they weren't willing to do what God asked them to do. So this is a test. And for Melanie and I, we tithe because God asked us to. I don't tithe that obligation. And you're just going to have to trust me and hear my heart because I have no way to prove it to you. We don't tithe that obligation. Oh, he works here. He's got a tithe so he can keep the place going so he can have a job. No. We tithe. We tithe more and give more because it's that important to me. We support ministries. But the tithe belongs in the storehouse. That's here. That's your home. We do it because it's ingrained in us. It's not an obligation. I do it because the one I give it to is the one that gave me everything. That if I had nothing else on this earth and God did nothing else for me, I would still do it because he's given me everything. The one I committed my life tells me to. This was demonstrated to me by my grandfather and my father. From day one, if I could have subdivided a penny, my dad would have said, you need to give 1/10 of a penny. If that's my increase as a child, and I learned it from it. And I didn't like it. Let's just be real. I didn't like it. But now after 45 years of doing it, I see the results, and I see what the Bible says when it talks about blessing. King David even talked about it. King David says, hey, 10% is 10%. The tenth is a tenth. Don't get, you know, we get into the argument, and if you want to know this, see me later, and we'll talk about it. But do I tithe off the gross, or do I tithe off my net? Well, let me ask you this. What if God got you almost to heaven? What if Jesus just got you so you could see the front door, but you can't come in? We'll talk about that one later. I could feel y'all retreating. The tithe is not an amount-based. It's an obedience-based response to God's word. The Bible says, again, in 1 Chronicles, it's King David praying. He says, I know, my God, that you test the heart and you're pleased with integrity. And all these things I've given, and I've done it willingly. And I've seen with joy how willingly the people that do it are giving to you. And the tithe is simple. It's 1/10. This number 10 is linked in the Bible without going too deep in the woods. Everything in the Bible is there for a reason. Even numbers. And the numbers mean things. The number 10 in the Bible is always linked to a test, a trial. You don't believe me? Let me just show you for a minute. I'm going to give you a test, but I'm going to let you cheat. Okay, ready? You didn't know you're going to have to work this morning, but you're going to have to earn your keep. All right? The answer to every question I'm about to give you is 10. Okay? There's your cheat sheet. For all of you who needed cheat sheets through school, there's your cheat sheet. All right, the first question is, how many plagues were there? Come on, everybody participate. How many plagues were there? Okay. How many commandments are there? How many times did God test Israel when they were in the desert? How many times were Jacob's wages changed in the Old Testament? I can't remember the answer I gave you. How many days was Daniel tested? How many bridesmaids were in Matthew 25? Okay. How many days of testing are mentioned in the book of Revelation? How many disciples were there? Wrong. 12. See? You got to listen. It just proves you don't believe everything I say. Go find it for yourself. What I'm telling you today is not just me. It's the Bible. And I knew everybody was going to do that because we just get chugging along. 10. We 10 all day long. And we change the answer and we're still yelling 10. Go find for yourselves. But the 10 is a test. Every week or two or whenever your paycheck comes, guess what? You're taking a test. And a lot of us don't know. A lot of us do know and don't do it. But either way, we're failing. And again, this is not a God needs your money thing. You take a test, and I wholeheartedly believe this. I was having a conversation with a guy this morning about things we can do to move forward with God and grow closer to God. I think we hit a wall. I think there is a wall if you can read your Bible and go and pray and show up at church. But there's a wall, a line you don't cross until you cross this one with tithing. Because it's not a money issue, it's a heart issue. Because the Bible says where your treasure is, there's what? Your heart. That's where your heart goes. It's a test. And to get the next level, you need to even change your perspective. And that's the second one on your list. And it's all God's anyway. The way I look at this is all God's. You can say God could have chose 5%. He could have chose 2%. He could have chose 50%. He could have done like the government and taken 60%, right? But he didn't. He chose 10. Why he chose 10? I'm guessing he was testing us. But it's all his anyway. And if we change our perspective to be, I've got to give you 10%. No, the Bible says you can't give your tithe. You do what? You return it. There's a key. Read through the Bible. It doesn't talk. Giving is an offering. Returning is the tithe. Returning to him something that's already his. That's the way it works. Look what the Bible says in Psalms. The Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. It's all his. He doesn't need our stuff. But it's a test. It's an act of, it's a commitment in our faith. It's an obedience. I like this verse. Look what God says. This is in Psalm. He says, listen, this is God speaking. He said, I don't need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. Very applicable to Scriven County, right? For all those of you who show animals. God says, why? Because they're all mine. The cattle, they're all mine. Look at the next verse. It says, for all the birds, they're mine. The animals in the fields, they're all mine. And then if you read the Bible, you got to understand, God has a sense of humor. He really does. There's some things that are funny, and this one strikes me as funny. Because I could just imagine me saying this, like, if I were really hungry, I wouldn't tell you. The world's mine. If God's hungry, he just says burger, and poof, a burger shows up. Or he points at a cow and says bacon cheeseburger, and cow and pig collide, and out comes a bacon cheeseburger. He doesn't need us because it's all his. And the tithe takes on a different view in your life if you change your perspective of me and mine and just giving God 10% of what's mine. No, God gave you everything and is letting you keep 90. So again, let's do some math. If I give you $10 and every week I'm going to give you $10 as long as you give me $1 back, is that a good deal? If you're an investor, that's a 90% return. You're getting 90% back every week. Any money man in the world would take that offer. It's not about your stuff. It's his stuff. And it changes our perspective when we see that it's all His. But He's given it to us to become a steward with. He's given it to us, like I said a few weeks ago, He gives you more to do more. He gives us more so that we can reach more people, so that we can change Screven County, so that Project 216 just last week was buying clothes for kids that didn't have any clothes, and they needed clothes, and Project 216 went and got them. And we were able to do that because of your generosity, and because you tithe, and because you give. The reason we bring our tithes to God and we give Him the first, now keep in mind, and I'm not going to go into this, but it's the first. I don't think God gets legalistic if you sit down and you write your checks out and you write, say you write one to the church and then you write one to your mortgage, and the mortgage one gets there first and gets to the bank first, and God's not freaking out about that. But I think there is an act of writing the check out or going online on our app and just doing it first. God, I give you my first. And the reason we give our first, our increase, then we bring, it's our best. And the reason we do that is because God gave His first and His best to us. The Bible says, and if you read, I'll squeeze it on down to this idea, that Jesus was really God's tithe to us, His seed into us. The Bible says of Jesus, it's not in your notes, but that Jesus was the, I didn't give it to you, I'm sorry, Bible says that Jesus was the first and only born of God. He was His only son. He was God's everything. And I've heard pastors say this, and I've even heard pastors do this in offerings, and I'm kind of, if God tells you to do this, it's between you and God. Don't come blaming, don't come to me. You know, I've heard people say, God told me right now to write you a check for everything I have in my savings, and cash out and give it to God. I get nervous when people say that, because I'm like, brother, I hope you heard God, because you ain't having mine, and you gave it, and you're wrong. Now, will God bless you for giving, even if we do it in excitement, and He didn't necessarily tell you to, but you did? Yes, He'll bless you. But we give our best because God gave His first and His best. This is the wisdom. I don't know why He chose 10, but again, it's not a numbers game. But it's giving your best. Anybody remember the story of the widow's mite in the New Testament? If you've never heard it before, it's essentially this. They were all these people giving at a church and at a temple, and this lady came forward and basically put like 2 pennies in the offering while all the rest of the people were writing like $100,000 checks. And look what the Bible says. This is out of the Message, which is a paraphrase version, so it's an easy read version. That's why I like the way this reads. And it's talking about Jesus. It says Jesus came in and sat down. And look where He sat, sitting across from an offering box. He was observing how the crowd just tossed money in for collection. Many of the rich were making $100,000 checks and getting on their app and, you know, hey, look how many zeros is in this, and sending it, you know, electronically. And then it says one poor widow came. And it says that she put two measly coins in. And Jesus stopped everybody and called His disciples over and said, hey, that woman, the truth is, she gave more than everybody in here. And if you go to verse 44 at the end, it says, why? Because she gave extravagantly. She gave everything she had, and she gave her all. Tithing changes when you understand that God gave us His everything. If He does nothing else for us from this time on, if He did nothing for us other than send us Jesus, then He did everything. He'll do more, but He laid the foundation by giving us His all. That's why it's not an option for me. I'm not obliged to give it. I do it because God asked me to do it. I give because He asked me. I give Him my best. We talked about this verse last week in Genesis chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel. You remember Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve's son? One was a farmer, one herded cows, was a cattleman. And the Bible says that Cain brought some of his offering. Cain brought some of his offering. Go ahead and flip to that. It's on, Genesis 4. You can go to that. It's not in there? See, I had a long morning. But and so look in Genesis chapter 4. You can look back at last week. It says, when it was time for harvest, Cain presented some of the crops. Abel brought a gift of the best of the firstborn. People argue, well, God didn't take Cain's because it wasn't a blood sacrifice, and Abel brought an animal, so there had to be blood. No, it's not yet. That's not even established yet. This was thousands of years before that ever got, God had to institute that. And God brought that. The Bible says that he accepted it because Abel brought his first. He gave his best. And he didn't accept Cain's because Cain kind of gave him the whatever. Now let me give you again. Let me just ask for my own peace of mind. Do y'all still love me? Okay, that's not real comforting. Please come back next week. But let me say this. And again, this is not, you have to hear my heart. This is not judgmental. I want the best for you. And this is one way you take that one step toward the best. If anybody tells you that you can tithe a percentage other than 10%, I understand working up to it. I understand steps of faith. But you're pulling a Cain because you're not giving God your first and your best. And until you reach a tithe, you're tipping God. This is, you know, whatever, those of you who wait tables, you know, it's 15 to 18%, you know, when you tip your waitress. And by the way, don't cheat your waitresses and waiters. It looks terrible. It's terrible for you. It looks terrible for God. Bless them. Matter of fact, today, anybody ever heard of a honking tip? You know what a honking tip is? Honking tips when the credit card company calls you and goes, did you really want to tip her $25? Yes, just to show her I could bless her and bless the person that they know about too. She's working hard. He's working hard. Bless them. Just because they're 5 seconds late when your Coke hit the bottom, don't knock their tip off. But we do the same kind of thing to God. God, I'm going to try to make it. No. Get there. Decide. Don't do it because I'm pushing you. You decide that what the word says is true. God sent his all to us. Because he sent his first, he sent his best. In what he sent Jesus. Now let me ask you this question. It's going to be a tough one. God sent Jesus. Would you say Jesus affected everybody? Would you say Jesus has, if they receive him, has blessed everyone? Yes. Well, that sets forth another principle. It's all through the Bible, and I'll give you more if you want it. See me. I'll give you the rest of the verses. But this is your next point. The first is important because the tithe blesses the rest. The tithe blesses the rest. I've lived this all of my life, and it's true all the time. Even when I think finances get tight, I stick with it. God always takes care of me. He always comes through. He always gives me more. I can't explain it. God says it. The Bible's clear about it. If I just didn't do everything in the Bible that I didn't quite understand, we'd be in trouble. The Bible doesn't say of any of the Bible that you have to understand it all. It just says you have to believe it. And then God will walk you in understanding and give you wisdom and help you get there. So don't freak out. I don't get it, God. I don't either. But I'm telling you, it works. Because we were both taught tithe. Mel and I both, when we got married, were all of our lives. And in our world and in your world, 2 + 2 equals, not a trick question, 2 + 2 equals 4. And this is the honest to God truth. If you don't believe me, I won't be hurt. You can come verify this with my wife. If you've been here for long, you've heard me tell this story. But right after I got out of seminary, we were making $250 a week. I mean, I thought we were rolling in high cotton. God opened up the door somehow. The banks loved us, and we bought a house making $250 a week. We were over behind what is now Pojo's, used to be Rusty's. I bought a house over there. And one day, Melanie came to me, and she said, I just don't get it. And I said, what is it? And she said, I'm adding the numbers up, and we basically went over an entire year. That was back when you had these paper things called checks, and you had to write your checks in a register. Remember those? Some of y'all still use them. Like, yeah, I remember. And we went through and added up everything that came in, everything that went out, to the best of our abilities. And when you look at what came in, and then you look at what we had left and the bills we had to pay, that number should have not been in the positive. But it was. We added several times through our lives, and now married 20 years, we've kind of done this. God, I don't get it. We had some tight times. We had some maybe dumb decisions or had something break and had to fix something. I don't get it, God. I don't either, but all I know is this principle is true, that the tithe blesses the rest. And this is a principle that the Bible says that you can test God. It does say in the New Testament, hey, don't test me. This is a total different thing. But this is one God says, no, test me on this. Look what it says in Malachi chapter 3. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Without getting, again, too deep in the weeds, the Bible's storehouse is representative of the church, of your home. If this is your home, I would say this is where your tithe belongs. If you're visiting with us today, don't give us your tithe. If you want to give an offering, great. You want to bless us, great. But your tithe belongs to your home church. We don't want your tithe. But this is very clear. It says that they must bring it into my house. And then God says very clearly, look, test me. But notice above what it says. Test me with what? The whole tithe. Don't tip God and test him with that. He doesn't recognize it because it's not whole. You got to bring whole. Whole of your first. Whole of our best. Bring the whole tithe. And then he goes to the next part of it. Says, and then something happens. See if I'm not going to throw open the windows of heaven and do more in your lives. Give you more. So much more you can't store it. Again, more is not given to have more. Just say, hey, look what I got. More is given to do more. We do that here at the church. When God gives us increase and we move the budget up, we try to do more. Because that's why God has given us more. It goes on and says, hey, and then this is what I love. Here's how another blessing works into your life. The Bible also says, not only when he's going to open up heaven, the Bible says, I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops. Anybody ever feel like everything in their life's being devoured? Like this moment you get your paycheck, the only thing you hear is a and it's gone. Anybody ever gone home and the freezer that you just loaded $400 worth of deer meat in has been dead for 4 or 5 days? And it's all soggy and stank. Anybody ever got a brand new car and pulled out of the lot and it quit? Anybody ever had things in your life? Just seems like you're under, your kid's sick and the house, there's a leak in your roof and everything, you know, your dog's sick, the chickens are sick, everything's just falling apart. You're being devoured, right? The Bible says that when you bring it to the storehouse and you tithe, you give God our best, whatever that is for you, that he says, I'm going to stop that. Parents, let me speak to you just a second. Your kids are being attacked. Hear me. I'm not saying that you not tithing is the cause. I don't believe that God puts that on you. He didn't redeem us and save us just to throw stuff on us. We have a real enemy and you have a real pest that's trying to devour you and devour your kids. You want your kids protected at another level? Tithe. You want your home protected at another level? Tithe. You're tired of your kids all, and I've heard some of you in this room say that, and I've said it too. Oh gosh, there's a sickness going around at the school. I know my child's going to get it. I don't. I honestly, it doesn't shock me when my kids don't get sick. Why? Because I have a promise, and God said, test me and prove that this is going to work. And for 17 years that we've had Emma, now 11 years that we've had Mabel, every day, God, you promised that she can be whole and complete and lacking nothing. And God, I know that's going to stay that way. Don't let things devour her. Don't let things devour Mabel. Don't let things devour the resources that you've given me. And they've asked me, my girls have asked me, Dad, why do you tithe? What is every Sunday I see Mama, and in our house, Melanie does it every Sunday for me just because I'm here. We still write a check. That's the only thing we write a check for. Everything else we do online. But Melanie writes a check, and it's just a statement of, God, we're writing it first. Here at the church, we get paid on Mondays. So we write it today and we tithe the day before the check ever hits the bank tomorrow. It's our best. That way, I don't even have an option. It's done and gone, and God, it's yours. My girls ask me, Dad, why do you tithe? And I'll explain a little bit what I've explained to you today, and we talked about it. But I tell them, I said, and they understand that it's an obedience thing, that just like I asked you to do something, I expect you to do it. God asks us to do it, and he expects us to do it. And they understand, too, in our house, if you do what I ask you to do, I'm going to bless you. But if I have to ask you three and four times, you're not getting extra. But if you're obedient, God, in our house, just like God, we bless you. But I tell them this, and I'm going to tell you, even if God didn't ask me to, even if he didn't bless me anymore, and this is bold and I know it, even if he didn't protect my kids and my family, even if I got nothing else from him other than salvation, I would still tithe. I would still give him my best for no other reason than this. I tithe because it's my honor. It's my honor to give to the God who saved me, who brought me out of a place that only he could bring me out of, who has kept me out of places that I had no business going, who has blessed my family, who has healed my kids, who is, I mean, I'll just be honest with you. In December, we sold our house and bought one. And I'm not going to go into the numbers because we didn't buy big, we didn't buy extravagant, but God has just opened doors. Until literally he opened the door of a house and an area and a property that we've always wanted. Even if he didn't do all that, I would still give him my best. I tithe because it's my honor. And I can show it to you, and this is the reason that I tell my girls this. And God even says it in Exodus. And he commands them to learn this principle and his word and the commandments. And he says, here's why. Look what he says. This is again out of the message. It says, when God brings you into the land of the Canaanites, that's where he promised you go. He does what he promised. And you and your fathers, and then he gives it all to you. That's what, remember, he did. Gave it all to us. And then he tells them, do what? Set aside your first. Remember, don't forget, I'm giving you it all, but you give me your first. Set aside the first birth out of every womb. Another animal in the Bible actually said of their sons, they would give God their first. And that most of the priests were firstborn. The line of Jesus were firstborns. And then he says that every first birth from your livestock belongs to God. You can redeem it, the first birth of every donkey, if you want. It's funny. I'm going to explain this to you because there's a lot here. He says if you want to redeem the donkey by substituting a lamb, you can do that. Let me give you a hint. In this story, we're not the lamb. We're the donkey. Remember what the Bible calls Jesus? He was our lamb. He was the lamb of God. The Bible says that God chose, he didn't have to, he chose to redeem us. Because if you don't, if us, the donkeys, guess what happened? He says, hey, you're dead. I'm breaking your neck. It's over, right? He goes on in verse 13 there. It says, when the time comes and your kids are going to ask, somebody's going to ask you, hey, Daddy, what does this mean? Why do you do this? Look what this says. And you tell them this, that I do this, Mabel, and I do this, Emma, and I do this, Believers Church, because God brought me out of a nasty place and took me to a place I don't deserve. He took me out of a place where I was bound up, and he did it with a powerful hand. And Mabel and Emma and Believers Church, the reason I sacrifice, it's my honor to give to him. The reason I tithe and the reason I make a sacrifice is because it's my honor to show the God that saved me, that gave me everything that I have, that owns everything, that I'm obedient and that he's first. That's why I tithe. Now, what I'm asking you to do today is just bow your head and close your eyes. I'm not putting pressure on you. I want you to think about this. If matter of fact, I'll say this. If you're not tithing, don't start today. You'll never hear a preacher say that again. And I probably will never say it again. Don't start. Come back next week. If you want to start, I want you to pray. I just want you to ask God, and he'll whisper in your ear, God, if this is true, then I need to do this. Go back over your verses. Go back over what I've given you. For that matter, Google tithe. It'll show up. There'll be a lot of crazy people saying a lot of crazy things, but you'll find every verse that I have. Because it's what the Bible teaches. It's how God gives us a test every time he gives us increase. And I want you all to pass the test. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. First, there may be some of you say, Clint, I'm not even serving God. I don't even know this Jesus. I haven't received God's tithe to me. Well, that's your first step. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if that's you, you say, Clint, I need you to pray with me. I need to meet Jesus. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to ask you to take a step. And that one step is just throw your hand up in the air and just wave at me. It's just me and you. Everybody else is eyes closed. It's just you and God having a moment. And if that's you this morning, there's a couple. If it's you at home, then just send us a message and let us know that you prayed this with me. All you have to do is simply pray something like this and say, God, I receive your gift to me of Jesus. I receive him as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. And God, I will serve you and give you my best for the rest of my life. And the Bible says that your salvation is secure. If that's you this morning and you did that, let us know. Fill out the little card in front of you and just drop it in the offering at the end. Now, for the rest of you, I need 1 minute. Can I have 1 minute? Okay, I'm going to take it anyway. Listen. Now, this, I want you to all just look at me. Please know I love you. I told Mabel this last night. She's going to kill me for telling y'all this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We moved out of the country, and I bought a small rifle, and I was wanting to teach Mabel how to shoot it, and she was terrified of it. And she wasn't terrified of the bang. She wasn't terrified of the noise. She was terrified. She said, Daddy, I just don't want to kill anybody. I don't want to make a mistake, and I don't want to kill anybody. And I said, baby, that's a great attitude to have, because that's how serious you need to take what we're doing. But you don't need to be afraid. And I told her, I said, Mabel, I will never, and I tell my kids this all the time, I'm never going to tell you to do something that's going to hurt you. I may have you do something that's uncomfortable. You may stress about it. It may be a little uneasy, but I'm never going to hurt you. I'm never going to wound you. And I debated just nixing this message altogether today, because my heart is, I don't want to hurt you and I don't want to wound you. But if I don't do and teach you what we said today and all there is about tithing, then I'm doing you a disservice and I'm hurting you. And as a shepherd, should not hurt sheep. So if you today say, Clint, I'm struggling with this. I don't do it, but I want to, but I'm afraid. You're perfectly normal. But I'm telling you, this is one step in your life that I can't take for you. Nobody else can do it for you. You just have to trust God. I can't tell you that you tithe next week and suddenly in the next 4 weeks your life's going to turn around. Or suddenly you're going to have this abundance of cash. I don't figure God out. He's bigger than I am. He's smarter than me. But I will do what I said I would do. If you start and do it a year and come back and say, Clint, my life is no better, I'll give it back to you. I so believe in this. And I want you to understand today, your money, your stuff doesn't have to strangle your life. If nothing seems to work and you can't ever get ahead, this just might be an issue. And I want you to receive it today. Do you still love me? Okay, y'all are making me nervous now. Let's pray. God, before we take up our offering and we bring you our tithe, God, I just ask you that anybody in the room who's ever struggled with giving you their best in the tithe and writing the check, giving the cash, Father God, if it's in their time, whatever it is that they have to give, Father, and they're giving you all of it, God, help them. Give them the faith to take that step to see you work in their lives, Father. If they've never had this understanding or revelation of what this is, God, open the doors. Don't just let them hear me, Father, let them hear it from you. God, I want everything you have for them. And the only way they can get that is by honoring you with their first and their best. And I bless them to have everything that you have for them now. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Why don't you stand?